In this episode, I'm going to share with you how I turned $10,000 into $1 million. And it all started by working for free. And so this journey was a roller coaster, let me tell you what. But it was worth every single step of the way. And in here, I share some tactics. I share some strategies. I show you how to best utilize leverage. And man, this is an action-packed episode. I hope you're excited for this. I was excited to tell it. So without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to the Everything Goes My Way podcast with your host, Logan Manzanettes. So as I start this podcast on how I turned $10,000 into $1 million, the irony is that this whole thing started by me actually working for free. And so I was in my very last semester of college at Montana State University. It was 2011, and I was getting ready to graduate an exercise science degree. And I looked at all my classmates that graduated ahead of me, and I realized none of them had jobs in the fitness industry. And I was like, shit, like, I didn't just spend all this money and invest all this time and not actually get a job in the fitness industry. I didn't want to go work, you know, as a laborer. I didn't want to go do some odd job. Like, I wanted to be in the fitness industry. But I realized, like, just getting a degree wasn't enough. And so at that time, I had exhausted all of my options of trying to get jobs in the fitness industry. Like, I had applied to every single gym in town to work as a front desk attendant. I'd even like applied to one gym as a personal trainer, even though I didn't everything I was going to get it. Cause I couldn't even get the front desk position. I even offered to be a cleaner. Like one of those people who goes around the gym with the little towels and like wipes off the equipment. And I guess I was just unemployable. And so I was in my very last semester. And I was like, no, this is not happening. And so what I did is I Googled all the gyms, all the personal trainers in Bozeman, Montana, and I got their emails, the ones that had emails out there, and I sent them all this mass email, and I said, hey, can I work with you, right? Like, show me the ropes, and I'll do it for free. And I reached out to, I don't even remember how many people, 10, 15 trainers, and one guy got back to me. His name was Sean Beckett. He got back to me, and he's like, sure, like, you can follow me around. And so he was not only a personal trainer at a big gym in town, but he was also the strength conditioning coach for the local high school, for the basketball team, for the football team. And I was an athlete growing up, and I was like, dude, this is amazing. And I remember shadowing him. I started out in the weight room with him, with the high school kids, and even the junior high kids. And at the end of that very first week, I was like, oh my gosh, I have learned more in a week about how to train people, about what the business actually is, than I had in my entire 5 years of college up to that point. And I had been lifting since I was 16. So at that time, that would put me like at, 22 years old. So like 6 years of lifting, I learned more in a week. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is insane. And I continued to shadow him for the next 6 months. And I continued to basically borrow his information, borrow all of his mistakes. And I was able to fast track everything he learned in a short 6 month period of time. I learned so much, not just about how to train clients, but also like what the business looked like and what actually personal training was in the fitness industry. And with that connection at that gym, he actually got me a job working as a front desk attendant. And so finally I made it. I finally got a job in the fitness industry. I was making $8 an hour, folding towels, making smoothies. but honestly, that was the situation where I was at that gym, and then I could build a relationship with the fitness director, who was the one who was in charge of hiring, and he ended up getting to know me, my personality, and 3 months later, he actually hired me as a personal trainer, and so I spent the next 2.5 years working as a one-on-one personal trainer, and I actually didn't do very well at it. Like, I was so passionate about the fitness side of it and training people and clients and workouts, but I didn't really understand that I was actually in the sales business. Like, I was actually in the marketing business, and I didn't know how to sell. I didn't want to sell. I just was like, hey, I have this amazing product. If it's so good and I can help you lose weight and I can help you get to your goals, like, you should just hire me. You should give me money. But personal training isn't that way. Like, you actually have to sell your clients. Like, you have to do free consultations. And I didn't realize that. But because I was so focused on growing this personal training business, I figured out as I went, I did just enough to get by. And that's where I actually started saving money. So luckily I was single. I didn't have a ton of bills. I didn't have a ton of expenses. I was just renting, and I was able to save about $333 a month over the next 2.5 years. And I saved about $10,000. And so at that moment I was like, okay, I'm never going to get rich being a personal trainer inside this gym. Plus, I was having some different values and different views on the direction of the gym. So this was 2013, and powerlifting and strength training wasn't really big on the scene at that time. And so I did a lot of powerlifting and strength training and deadlifting and cleans with my clients, and the other members in the gym didn't like it. And the other trainers in the gym outside of Sean, who was the one who was my mentor, no one liked it either, right? So I was kind of the black sheep of the gym. And so I was like, well, screw this. I'm just going to go start my own gym. And so that's what I did. In 2013, I left that gym and I started my own gym, and I had about 8 clients and no plan on how to get new clients. Looking back on it, I was like, oh my gosh, Logan, like, you're stupid. Like, legit, you're stupid. But I was just so focused on growing this environment for my clients and giving them a place where they could lift weights and we could listen to music and we could have chalk and we could drop weights and like all these things. I was just like, I was so focused on that. I didn't even think about, well, what happens if like these clients leave, or how do I get new clients? How do I make a business out of this? And so for the next 3.5 years, I literally just like banged my head against the wall trying to figure this out. But again, I lived so cheap and I didn't have any expenses. I was still single at the time, that I was able to save another $238 a month over the next 3.5 years. Again, I had about $10,000 that I'd saved up. And so after about 3.5 years, I was looking for mentorship. I was looking out there, and there wasn't really anybody on the scene who I really resonated with, who I really believed that if I got coaching from them, that I would be successful. And then one day I was scrolling on Facebook and I came across this Facebook ad, and this guy said that he could fill my gym in less than 30 days. And he would do it for free. And I was like, I'm interested in that. And I clicked on the ad and I went through the whole thing. I saw some testimonials. And I was like, cool. And I tried to book a call and it was full. And then all of a sudden I got this message from this guy named Alex Hermosi on Facebook. And he messaged me and we started talking. I was like, dude, love your squat pictures. And that was the video that, like, this stranger gained my trust, is because he posted a video on his Facebook of him squatting. It was like 455 pounds for like 3 reps. He was wearing Rogue Duwin shoes. So if any of you guys are lifters, you know what this is. He's wearing knee sleeves and he squatted. He has a good squat to depth. And I was like, I trust this guy. And that was my level of thinking back then. I was trying to find a reason to trust a stranger on the internet, right? And so I ended up going through his process, and actually, he did something right there. He scheduled an appointment. It was actually with his wife, Layla, who disguised herself as a girl named Jennifer, as I found out later. And they did a set on me. So they set me and basically qualified me. And I did a close call with Alex. And I remember Alex walking me through the program and explaining how everything worked. And I was just sitting there, like, getting so excited. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I've been working for the last 3.5 years and I've been like getting so close to figuring this out, but I couldn't quite put it together. And then Alex is like, all right, you ready for the price? And I was like, sure, drop it on me. And he's like, it's $10,000. And he just shut up. And I just sat there and my stomach dropped. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I was expecting it to be like $2,000 or $3,000, but like $10,000, like, that was legitimately all the money I had. And I had it saved up. And I was so, like, back then I was so worried about money that I didn't have it in the bank. It was under my pillow in a Crown Royal bag. And that's how, like, nervous I was about this money. I was like, I had this money. It was like my seed money. It was like my worst case scenario money. And I remember him telling me the price on it, and I just dropped and I didn't say anything. It was legit probably 2 minutes. And eventually I just said, fuck it, let's do it. And Alex won, right? The first person who speaks loses. And I was the next person who spoke. And so I gave him $10,000. And, you know, over that next 30 days, I made over $50,000 using that system that Alex showed me and taught me. And it was amazing. I was like, oh my gosh, like, if he did that much, and with this little system, he also said he had this other system called Legacy that was even better. And so after that 30 days, he pushed me through he upsold me into his Legacy program. He did a really cool thing. And I won't go into that into this podcast, but it was really cool. Sent me a letter, gave me $100, had me go out to dinner, and then sent me a video. It was really cool. But I was like, dude, like, you don't have to do any of that stuff. Like, I'm sold. Like, you made me that much money in 30 days. Like, what can you do if we actually extend this relationship? And so after the next 30 days, I literally gave him back another $17,000. And then I joined his Legacy program, which was, I don't know, over $1,000 a month. And I added up for the next 2 years. And I continued to make a lot of in my fitness business. Me and Alex were able, I was actually to grow a relationship with Alex and try to serve him at the highest level I possibly could. Started doing daily calls with him, which were inside our Gym Legacy and Gym Launch program. He did a daily call every single day. And I eventually took those over from him. And I was doing daily calls to the other gym owners, did that for free. But then I also did sales with him. And I learned how to sell high ticket biz to biz sales, and it started out as a $9,000 program, then it went to a $100,000 program with a 3-year commitment. Like, it was actually a pretty tough sale, and I learned that, and I was like super grateful for that skill set. But over the next 2 years, I ended up saving up about $200,000. And so it was funny because I would randomly send Alex screenshots, because again, he took my last $10,000. And then, so from there, we kind of had this relationship, and every time we would connect, like, how much money do you got? Right. And so I would randomly send him screenshots. And I think one of the last ones I sent him was about $200,000. And it was really cool. Right. And so, like, the reason why I was able to save that much money, though, is because I was making money first off. So I've created a lot of income in my business, but then we were also saving. So we were making money, we were managing money really well. Like a lot of the money we made, we didn't even touch, we just put it right into a savings account. And we're like, okay, we're going to use this money and then we're going to invest it, right? And so this is where the next phase of our chapter comes in, is like, how do we turn that $200,000 into a million? So I showed you how we turned $10,000 into $200,000. Now the $200,000 to the million, this is the really cool part, okay? And so I knew that I wanted to invest in real estate back in 2016. So I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to use my money to make money, right? I don't need to work for money forever. And so I wanted to buy my first piece of real estate I think it was 2015, either 2015 or 2016. But I actually didn't buy my first investment property till 2019, right? And this was actually 2 years after I had met Alex, after my business had blown up. And that's when we actually had some money saved up. And so our very first investment property, we put $66,000 down, which was 25% down. We got it through the bank. We were qualified because we had good income. The home was worth about $280,000. We got it for $240,000. We got a good deal on it. One of the real estate agents was a client at my gym. So again, I had that connection. It was great. That's how we bought our very first investment property in 2019. So I literally, by signing a piece of paper, my net worth went up $40,000, right? I bought a home for $240,000 that was worth $280,000. I instantly gained $40,000. I was like, wow, this is really cool. And so I bought another home. This one was worth $250,000. And we bought it for $250,000, right? It was like, we didn't get a good deal on it. On that one, we put down $50,000. So that one was went 20% down. And then we bought our third property for $455,000, but it was worth $408,000. So again, we walked into another piece of equity. So again, we gained an extra, $25,000 equity. And we only put down $32,000 to get that, right? So that's how we bought our very first three investment properties. We ended up moving into that third property. And I'll tell you what, like right now, the reason why we are millionaires is because we made those investments. And so 3 years later, that $240,000 home is now valued at $515,000. Okay. That $215,000 home is valued at $455,000. And that third home that we bought for $455,000 is worth $1.3 million. Okay. And so literally just with those first three homes, we made $1 million. And so the cool part is that once I started to realize like how much money you can make in real estate, and when you buy right and you play the long game, it's insane. Like you make your money work. You make your money work so much harder than we had to work in order to build up that $200,000, right? We had to make $1 million in the last 2 years, and the amount of work we did was much less than it was for us to make that first $200,000. And so we went in on real estate, and especially on the investing side. So like right now, we currently own 32 doors. We actually have 8 under contract. So maybe by the time I publish this podcast, maybe we'll have 40 doors under contract. But it was cool because the skills that I learned from building a business and creating that active income, making the $200,000, then I used those skills to invest in real estate, that excess cash. And I did it in appreciating markets. And that's how we were able to like move our income from 200, like a basically make our move our net worth from 200,000 all the way up to over $1 million, right? So that's my story. But how does this actually help you? And that's the most important piece of this. So first off, we have to get really clear on our terms. So one of my mentors named Dr. Kashi, he's really big on coming to terms. And so we need to be in agreement of what is a millionaire. Okay. So what does a millionaire mean to you? To me, being a millionaire is having a net worth of over $1 million, Okay. So that means that your assets are $1 million more than your liabilities. So let me ask you a question. Like, do you have personal debt? Do you have debt? Like, how much debt do you have? And then how many assets do you have? And then when you line those up, do you have $1 million more of cash, assets, stocks, whatever it may be, over the amount of liabilities? That's how you actually become a millionaire, right? So here's a question I have for you. If you have $1 million in the bank, but you have a personal debt of over $1 million, are you actually a millionaire? Okay. That's something to bite off. If your business grosses $1 million, but isn't profitable, are you a millionaire? Can you become a millionaire without even making $1 million in a year? And so I asked that last question is because we became millionaires, multimillionaires, before we even made $1 million in a year. Now, we have gone on to make $1 million in a year now, but we were literally millionaires before we actually made $1 million in a year. And so here's how you do it. You got to understand the money game. And so there's three things you got to understand about the money game. You got to learn how to make money. You got to learn how to manage money, and you got to learn how to multiply money. Okay. So if you have not written those things down, don't be a silly goose. Write them down. Make money, manage money, multiply money. You got to understand those three things. Okay. And so here's the most important thing to go with those three things is you understand the form of leverage. Okay. So like I said in the very beginning, like in the beginning, we didn't have any leverage. Like I was doing all the sales. I was doing all the work. I hustled my ass off to make $200,000. And I invested all the money I made back into my education and into mentorship, into connections, and to get the information, the systems to actually make a good income. But at the end of the day, like if I stopped working, if I stopped doing sales, if I got burnt out, if I got tired, the money stopped coming in. Okay. So that's where you need leverage. And so when it comes to your business, it's why owning a business is so valuable rather than operating a business. Okay. And so when it comes to business, you need to understand there's three skill sets or there's three things that make a business successful. Okay. There's the fulfillment of the business, right? Which is the widget, which is the thing that you sell. Like for me, it was personal training. It was the service. It was helping people, the clients lose weight. You also need to have the skill sets in the marketing. Like how do you get prospects to come to me? Right. And then sales. What are the words to say, how to say them through the frame that make people reliably want to give you money? Okay. So those are the three skill sets that you need to get really good at in order for you to have leverage in your business. Okay. And then after those three skill sets, then you got to learn how to get out of your own way, breaking the beliefs around what is actually possible, that you are worthy of making money, and the character traits. Like, did you come for money or did you not come for money? Are you poor? Are you rich? Like, there's so many different things. And so I have another podcast called the three skill sets that every entrepreneur needs to learn. I think that's what it's called. I don't know. It's three skill sets. Like, go watch that podcast. Listen to that. I go deeper on the fulfillment, the marketing, the sales, and then the bonus of like how to break limiting beliefs and how to change your character values and traits. That's a great podcast. So, but then after you learn marketing, sales, and fulfillment, the next thing you got to do is learn how to hire people again, because people who operate businesses get tired, right? Operators get tired. Owners get rich. And so this is where you gotta understand the difference between owning a business or having a business own you. And so how you own a business is you use leverage. You're able to hire people to do things that you no longer want to, need to, or is the highest and best use of your time. And so the first thing that I learned is actually how to hire assistants and admins and doers, okay? And so now we utilize virtual assistants in our business for most of these tasks. So anything that can be done virtually, anything that's like paperwork, something that's busy work, something that's task work, we have a virtual assistant who does this, and they are amazing. They're so loyal. They're hardworking. Again, I made another podcast on how to hire $3 employees. Like, go listen to that VA training podcast. It is so good. It is really, really good. Step by step. Okay. And then after I learned how to hire assistants and admins and doers, the next thing I learned is how to train salespeople, right? How to train salespeople. Like, sales is the lifeblood of your business. If you're going to fire everybody, The one person who you're never going to hire is the person who's producing income, the person who's bringing in revenue. Those are salespeople, okay? It's funny because in our fitness business, they were literally salespeople who would get on phone calls with prospects and they would sell them our programs. Again, we had our lower ticket program was $600. Our high ticket program was $2,000, okay? We had trained salespeople. We did sales training every single day in order for us to get these salespeople trained and skilled and feel confident and be able to say the words and make people feel really good that wanted to give us money, okay? Now in our cleaning business, it's actually really cool because our salespeople are actually the cleaners. So our goal is to sell the cleaners on just wanting to work more, because every single time that the cleaner works, we bill basically a percentage based on how many hours they work to the client. And so our goal is just how do we get as many cleaners into our business and we make more money. So it's a different kind of sale, but at the end of the day, we're still trying to train salespeople. And then eventually I learned how to actually bring an operator on. I learned how to bring a manager onto my business who actually managed the hiring, the firing, the day-to-day stuff, so I could actually step away and actually invest in real estate, right? Invest in more businesses. And so these are the different skill sets you need to learn in order for you to actually become an investor, okay? And so I told you the story of how I turned out $200,000 into $1 million, but before that, I had to learn all these different skill sets. That way I could actually step away from my business could continue to grow without me, and I could actually focus on, hey, like, I need to start learning about real estate, or I need to evaluate deals. I need to learn how to raise money. Like, there's all these other things. I need to learn how to source deals, find deals. All these things that you still need to put your attention on. But it's now it's a high level job that I'm doing, because I've now learned something else, and I shared it with my team, and they know how to do it. Okay, and so that's when it comes to your active business, is learning those skill sets and identifying leverage as your most powerful form of skill set that's going to allow you to change your income from where you're at to where you want to be. Okay. Now let's actually specifically talk a little bit more about investing. Why real estate? So there is a tons of different ways you can invest your money. Okay. And when it comes to like financial vehicles, the tried and true ones, we have real estate, we have stocks. Now we have things like Bitcoin. You can invest in gold, you can invest in precious metals, you can invest in painting, right? You can invest in your own business. So there's lots of different ways you can do it. So the first way that I actually recommend doing it is what I talked about earlier, is actually invest in yourself, invest your education, invest in mentorship, invest in like fast-tracking that process so you get the information that you need. So in the very beginning, when I was interning with Sean, working for him for free, like I invested my time in order to shortcut that process from 6 months of what it took him 10 years to learn. And then when I actually started working in the fitness business as a personal trainer, I invested my time, and I basically, again, now I was getting paid to learn how to be a personal trainer and learn how to do sales and all these other things. Like, that was really cool. And then eventually that got me so far. And the next phase was, you know, I actually find a mentor, and I gave him my last $10,000, and he ended up showing me how to make a lot more money than that. And then after that, then I started taking that money I earned, I started putting into real estate. I invested it into an asset. And then that asset, because I did my due diligence, my hard work up front, that thing's appreciated. Now I turned over $200,000 in cash into over $1 million. So there's different ways to do it. But I'm going to talk about real estate. And the biggest reason why is leverage, right? And we talk about all these other things that we just talked about, from crypto to stocks to painting, whatever it may be. Is the reason why I love real estate so much is because I get to use leverage. So let me explain what that means. So let's say that we have $100,000 to invest. Okay, how much stock could you buy for $100,000? I'll help you with this one. You can buy $100,000. Okay, no trick question. Put $100,000 in the stock market, you get $100,000 out. Actually, probably less, because you actually got to pay some fees, right? Now, if I invested in real estate with $100,000, how much real estate could I buy? I could buy $500,000 of real estate, right? Because in real estate, as an investment, you can put 20% down and you get to control this asset worth $500,000. Pretty cool, right? And again, is it actually worth $500,000? Is you actually get all that equity? No, because again, there's closing costs, there's other fees that get taken up, just like you would if you invest in the stock market, okay? But now, let's say both investments, they appreciate at 10% per year. Okay, I'm just using easy math. Which one would make you more money? So let's talk about stocks. So year one. After year one, we put $100,000 into stocks. We made 10%. At the end of year one, we would have $110,000 in stocks. Cool, right? Year one. That same piece of real estate that we bought for $500,000 with our $100,000, it invested 10%, and now it's worth $550,000. Okay, so stocks, our net gain was $10,000. In real estate, our net gain was $50,000. Pretty cool, right? Let me ask you this. Let's look out 10 years now, right? So 1 year, that's pretty cool. But like 10 years, we buy real estate to hold real estate forever, right? Because we know that it's going to eventually, over the course of time, it's going to go up. Well, year 10, out of that $100,000, guess what your stock portfolio is worth after it's made 10% per year and it's compounded? Now you're at $236,000. That's actually pretty good, right? You made $136,000 on your money. Plus, you get your original principal back. Now, year 10. In real estate, guess how much that same piece of real estate is worth? It's $1.3 million. And you know what your gain is on that? It's $800,000. Cool? That makes sense? So now, here's even the coolest part. In order for you to actually realize those gains, so in order for you to take that $236,000 of stocks, right, I would actually have to sell it. Okay, I have to sell it, and I actually would pay capital gains on that $236,000. On my real estate in the 1.3, if I sold it, I would have to realize capital gains on it. If I 1031'd it, which is a really cool technique, which I'm not going to get into here, you could actually 1031 that money into another property. You wouldn't have to pay any taxes on it. Or here's actually my favorite strategy is I would do a cash out refinance, and I would get to pull 75% of the equity out of that property. So again, I wouldn't get to take that whole $800,000, but I could probably take $600,000 in cash, and guess how much I get taxed on it? $0, right? So I get to realize that's gain, and I get to keep the asset. I get to keep the real estate and get to appreciate for the another 10 years. Once I sell the stock, I'm done with it. It's over with. It's gone. Voila. Boom. See ya. Sayonara. Hasta la vista, baby, right? And so that is the reason why I love real estate so much as an investing strategy. Okay. So now, for you, what do you got to do? So I'm going to give you actually tactical step-by-step. Here's what you need to do. Depending on where you're at, you need to take this information and you need to apply it to your specific situation. Okay. First thing you got to do is you need to pick a business. So if you're not in business, you need to get in business. Okay. I'm talking to business owners right now. You're never going to get rich working for yourself unless you're an entrepreneur. If you're an entrepreneur and you actually can create create income because you're a salesperson or you are a rainmaker in your company, then I'm talking to you. Okay. But if you want to get into entrepreneurship and you want to start a business or you're already in a business, here's what you do. You need to evaluate your business. Okay. And there's five business standards. There's five business standards that you need to know before you pick a business, or if you're in a business, you need to evaluate your business based on these five standards. And so these five standards I'm going to share with you. I actually made another podcast. You can see it. I'm referencing quite a few podcasts because, again, like I wanted to share this information for you and go a little bit deeper on it if you want more. Okay. If you're that person who wants more, go to the five, what is the podcast called now? I don't know. It's the five standards to start a business. That's what it's called. Okay. The five standards to start a business. So the first one is profit margin. Okay. The second one is abundance of leads. The third one is that it's simple. The third one is simple. The fourth one is that's delegatable. And the fifth one is that there's proper passion. Okay. And so I dive deep into those five standards to start a business. If you have not listened to the podcast, go back and listen to that podcast. It is so good. It is like step by step is showing you exactly how to determine what a good profit margin is. What does abundance of leads mean? How do I know if my business is simple? Is it delegatable? Again, leverage. And then proper passion. Is the proper passion for the customer or is it for you? And that one I share with you which one is actually more important. So after you pick a business, again, you need to also understand the three steps to the money game. Okay. Understand that the first goal is to make money. You need to learn how to make money. Okay. Then you need to learn how to manage your money. You need to learn how to save money and learn how to control your expenses and then how to actually multiply your money. Okay. That is the game. You multiply money. Again, that first $10,000 to $200,000, it took me, man, what, five years to do. And then the next $200,000 to $1 million, less than 2 years. Okay. And now we're able to grow our net worth almost $1 million a year because we have these skill sets. Okay. And we have these assets that are continue to compound. And so, if you want to invest with me actually, and you're someone who does make lots of money and you are like, hey, like I just want to put this money and I want to park it and I want to grow money like you did, then definitely reach out to me. Okay. And guess what? It's 2022 right now. If when you listen to this, if you're waiting for a crash, it's coming, my friend. And so I am getting my cash ready to go. If you haven't got your cash ready to rock and roll, like now's the time to do it. Like get your cash situated so you can deploy it because there's about to be some really good deals. Like if you think that we made a lot of money in the last 2 years, wait till the next 2 or 3 years. Like it's about to get really, really good. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this podcast. If you did, please like rate this podcast, like it, share with an entrepreneur, share with somebody who needs to hear this. Without further ado, I'm Logan Manzanares and I'm out. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode and you want more, go to everythinggoesmyway.com/free-gift. And there, I have the most incredible free gift waiting for you. Do you want to run your business based on logic rather than emotion, based off numbers rather than feelings? Do you want to have a consistent, reliable business that runs based on data? Then go to everythinggoesmyway.com/free-gift.